Hello, and church family, for inviting us. We have already had a wonderful time. Thank you, Brother Joe. Appreciate that. We've had a wonderful time already. And boy, you have a wonderful church here. This is a great blessing and a great privilege to be here. Great singing. I tell you what, I can't hardly contain myself when I hear singing like that, especially a good song like that, focused on the gospel and how excited the Lord gets when somebody gets saved, and what an exciting thing that is. And thank you, everyone, for being here. I certainly appreciate it. And it's a special privilege for me getting to be here. This is my first time being at this church, New Hope Independent. And thank you for inviting me and my wife and I, Miss Kay. And we're so excited to be here. We're someone asked us on the plane the other day, "Are you newlyweds?" We've been newlyweds for about 14 years now, but yes, and six kids. But we are newlyweds, yes. We enjoy being together, and so thank you for bringing us here. We certainly appreciate that. It's great to have my family here, Charity and Cody. I'm certainly thankful that they're here. You know what I love about them is they are the most patient parents I think I've ever met in my life. Just so kind. I'm a little wild, so you know, I'm not always as patient as I should be, but I appreciate Brother Cody and my sister Charity. It's a great blessing. And then to have my brother here as well, Pastor Jake and his wife Amber. And something I love about my brother is he's always a go-getter. He's a go-getter type man. I always thought he would make a wonderful pastor, and he certainly is. He's living up to that, and what a great blessing that is. And then to have my grandparents here, Papaw and Mamaw, I think about them steadfast. Amen. You want to know what my grandpa was like growing up? Well, you just heard it this morning during the Sunday school hour. He's been that way since I can remember and never changed. Neither is my grandmother, and I'm so thankful. In a world where people are constantly changing, I'm thankful that they have not. Yes. Amen? Amen? And when I grow up, I want to be just like him. Amen? Amen? I might be a little taller, but, you know, I want to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm grateful that when he retired from being a pastor, he didn't retire from being a Christian. Amen. I've said this before, that we've had many evangelists come through our church, and most of the time what we have come through are not evangelists, they're just professional preachers. But Pastor Stan Roach is a godly man who is constantly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what an evangelist is supposed to do. Amen. And I thank God for him and my grandmother and our heritage every day. And I'm also blessed to have a lot of cousins here and family. And man, what a privilege that is. And we have been blessed as family and as cousins. Our heritage is one that is great. And then also I'm so thankful for Pastor Barlow and his wife, Miss Crystal, and their children. You know, it is an honor to be here. And I'll tell you this, when I first heard that him and my eldest sister, she is the oldest, by the way, but you know, my eldest sister was and him were getting together and getting married, and I thought, are you serious? Back then he wasn't Pastor Barlow, he was just Drew. Now he's pastor. But I thought, I cannot believe that she is getting together with him. I cannot believe it. But I tell you now, all these years later, I couldn't imagine life without him. And I think all of our family feels that way. Appreciate them very much. And he is a very humble man. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke. He is a humble man. And I appreciate that. He's full of wisdom. And this church has been very blessed by his zeal and wisdom for God. And only time will tell how blessed you really are. And, you know, traveling to churches and other places, it's not always like this. There's not always a full church house. There's not always kids sitting on the front row. There's not always life. And so we thank God for that, and give honor to your pastor. And by the way, what talent. I mean, to have a family that can sing like they do, man, God has just blessed you abundantly, and I hope you know that. And again, thank you, church. You're to be commended for this beautiful facility that you have here and all that God has given you. I'm looking forward to a great week, aren't you? Amen. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. But most of all, more than anything, I'm thankful that the Lord is here. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful to be saved. Amen. I'm thankful to be a child of God. And I love missions. I feel like missions is my heartbeat. And I say this, I believe it is the heartbeat of the church. If a church ceases to care about missions, it will die.
Yep.
If a church ceases to care about the gospel and getting it spread, not only to America, but to the world, it will die. It has to reproduce itself, and we have to get focused on the commission. We have to get focused on what God has. If you would turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 13, if you would. Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Does anybody know the population of Red Level? Go ahead and slip up your hand if you think you know the population. I looked it up this morning, so I cheated. Nobody's going to get to it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what the internet told me anyways. 400 to 500 people that live in Red Level. Does anybody know how many people live in the state of Alabama? I also looked this up the other day, so I also know. Does anybody know? Yep, 5.1 million is what the internet said. How many people know how many people live in Florida? Yes, sir, right here. Brother Neil.
I don't know how many people live there.
Okay, you live there. Well, I'll tell you what. He's one of the 23 million that live in Florida, okay? How about Georgia? Does anybody know how many folks live in Georgia? Excuse me? 8 million? Yeah, pretty close. The internet said between 8 and 10 million. The internet's kind of off sometimes. A couple million there, here, there, you know, they don't know. Yeah, a couple million. How many of you know how many countries are in the world? Does anybody know how many countries? Not continents, not states, but how many countries are in the world? Does anybody know? Excuse me? Pretty close, yep. 195 countries right now in the world as we stand. 195 countries, and this is our map. It is right side up. It's upside down for me, but right side up for you. This is our map of our world, okay? And there are 195 countries represented. We just talked about the millions and millions that live right here in Alabama, in Georgia, and in Florida. But how many realize that America, the United States of America, only makes up about 4% of the world's population? 60% of the world lives over in Asia. There are 8.1 billion people on the planet. 8.1 billion people on the planet. There are cities in Asia right now that if you were to combine Florida, Georgia, and Alabama's population together, they would reach the population of one city. The world's largest city is Tokyo, Japan. 37 million people in one city. And here's what I'm saying, folks. In Red Level, you guys are doing a fantastic job. I mean, look at this crowd this morning. Went out soul winning yesterday. People know who New Hope Independent Baptist Church is, and what a great blessing that is. But the thing about missions is this. It gets us focused not only where we're at, but also where we need to go. And we need to find ourselves, our church, we need to make sure that we're in all of these 195 countries. And you say, well, how are we going to accomplish that? I'm here in Red Level. Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that every single one of us needs to be involved in missions. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week. What our church right here, New Hope Independent Baptist Church, is going to do for the sake of the gospel. The Bible says in the book of Acts, please, Acts chapter number 13, if you would. Let me turn there. How about that? Acts chapter number 13 is where we're going to be. And this week we're going to learn all about how we're going to get the gospel there. I want you to realize that sometimes when you think that the job's accomplished, you kind of go into a coast mode. But I want you to realize that the church is not in a mode to coast. We got a big job to do. Have you been anywhere in America lately? As Pastor Roach preached about this morning, America is in a mess. And is the church's job to reach every state in America? It is our job. It is the church's job to reach every 195 of those countries in the world. It is the church's job, and I'm just here to awake your appetite and help you understand what the job is and the scope of the job. But I want you to realize that it's not a job that it is impossible, but it is a job that is able to be accomplished through local New Testament churches.
Yep.
It is God's pattern to get the gospel to the world. I hope you understand that. Am I okay to take my jacket off? Okay, it's too warm here. I was cold earlier. Thank you, sweetie. There we go. All right. Thank you, Pastor Drew. But it is God's vehicle to get the gospel to the world is the local New Testament churches. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1. And as I said, you know, can the gospel get to the world? Well, the apostles did it. I won't turn there for sake of time, but the book of Colossians teaches us that they preach the gospel to every creature which is under heaven. And they didn't have radio. And they didn't have internet. But you know what they had? Local churches. They had people who said, you know what, it is our personal responsibility to get the gospel to the world. Acts 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now there was at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that were called Niger and Lucius and of Cyrene and Magdan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Sicilia, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus. Let me just make a few statements this morning, and then I'll give us some help. And again, we're going to talk about the how more this week. And so I hope that you'll plan on being here. I know some are traveling that I talked to. But, you know, if there's plans that you had that you're able to move around, I highly think it would benefit you and bless you if you were here each and every night. And, you know, a missions conference is kind of like a business meeting of the church. And what we're doing is we're figuring out what are we going to do for missions. It's also a family business meeting. As your families are gathered around here, what are we going to do as a family? And individually, what are we going to do as a family? All these little kids on the front row, I'm so thankful that they're able to give to missions too. Amen. I think everybody ought to have a commitment to give to missions. My children included, all six of them, we have missions commitments. We just had our missions conference, and they have commitments that they've made to the Lord. And I hope by the end of the week that God will prompt your heart to find something to be able to give. But let's talk about missions. Can I say this, that faithful missionaries, you know, sometimes we wonder what is a missionary and what really is a missionary. Now, I want you to realize that you can be a missionary anywhere you go. And each and every one of you and me, God's people, should be missionaries at our workplace. Yep. We should be missionaries in our city, wherever you live. You should be missionaries in this state. You should be missionaries all the time, going around and spreading the gospel. But faithful missionaries are not born. Do you know that? Brother Zach and his wife, as they go to America, Samoa, and what a needy place for the gospel. And Brother Rebot over there in Thailand, what a needy place. And Pastor Roach in America, what a needy place. I want you to realize that they weren't born that way. They were made. And you say, well, how were they made? They were made in local churches just like this one. They got called to that field in missions conference just like this one. Folks, we're going to get the job done for the gospel if we understand that it's done in local churches. And God does not go beyond the boundaries of the local church to call men to the field. If a pastor or if a missionary calls and they call to Alaska and say, I'm going to such and such field and I don't know them and I don't know anything about them, I'll ask him this question very first. I'll say, tell me about your home church. You say, well, why is that? Because if they're not connected with a local New Testament church, they are not a biblical missionary. Right. And God cannot bless things done with a right heart even when it's done the wrong way. I don't have time to take you through proof, but come up and talk to me later. I'll help you with that. Can I say this? If you won't work here, you won't work there. You want to be a good missionary? Find you a bus route. You want to be a good missionary? Find it on Thursday nights as they go out and knock doors, or on Saturday mornings and they go out and knock doors. Go be a missionary in Red Level. Now, I know you're doing well, and there's 100-plus people here this morning from the community and surrounding areas, but there are still hundreds and hundreds and millions of people in this great state that need Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And it is your job, and it is my job to go and get them. You know what's funny is everybody wants to do something big for God. Don't they? Pastor, I want to sing the special. Pastor, I want to teach a Sunday school class. Pastor, I want to preach. Everybody wants to do something big for God, but very few people are willing to do something small for Him.
Yeah.
And he that is unfaithful in least will be unjust in much also, is the principle from Luke 16. If you can't be a good church member, you probably won't be a good missionary. Character is developed in the small things. And you can't be a great leader until you become a great follower. Oh, in church, you got such a great pastor. You need to follow this man of God. You want to be blessed, follow the man of God. If I was a young man in this church, I would find myself up underneath the wing of Pastor Drew and spend as much time and learn and glean from him as much as I could. You just don't know how blessed you are, church. Can I say that the Lord calls the missionary right out of this church? Can I say that the work is already put together by the heart of the leaders? As we look in Acts chapter number 16, the church is coming together and they are praying and they are fasting. The Bible says to those leaders, hey, I want you to separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work where I've called them to. You may know the Apostle Paul, who is once Saul, that Jesus saved on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter, a moment with Jesus where he knew who Jesus was. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then old Barnabas came and he helped to confirm Saul to the churches. Because remember, Saul was persecuting the church. And everybody was afraid of him. Could you imagine if we had a persecutor of our day in this great state of Alabama, who was constantly coming into churches and dragging them off to prison and taking the preachers and their wives and dragging them off to prison? Could you imagine that man getting saved and walking down the front row and sitting right there on the front row? Everybody in here would look at him and say, I'm not sure. A little skeptical. And the Bible says that God used Barnabas in a great way to help confirm the testimony of Saul. You see, it is about the local church, by the way. He helped confirm the testimony in Saul. Said, no. He was with me and he was preaching Jesus and preaching the gospel and disputing in the synagogues. And he is converted. He's a man of God. And the Bible said that all the churches had rest because of that. This is the Saul that we're talking about, or the Paul that we're talking about, Paul and Barnabas, who wrote much of our New Testament. But they're working there in the church. And God chose those men that were busy in the house of God. They sat there for a year at that church in Antioch. They were on the road to Damascus, remember Saul was, and they were at Jerusalem at the church disputing and preaching the gospel. And then they moved up the coast to Antioch. And that's where they spent a year preaching and teaching in God's house. And can I say, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you want to be used of God, you better get busy in this local New Testament church. And I'm not just talking about the adults. I'm not just talking about the ones that have been saved for a long time. I'm talking about every single person in this church. But wait a minute, Pastor, I'm already 70 years old. What can I do for God? Can I say that we support a missionary in Africa named Brother Gentry. He's got an orphanage with over 500 youngins there. Very poor area. If I told you some of the stories, and maybe I will this week, of just the sadness that's there, it's difficult. Brother Gentry didn't go to Africa till he was 68 years old. And it's not an easy place. It's a difficult place. But can I say that God can use each and every one of us? And I hope this week that we'll catch a vision for the gospel and what we could do for the sake of the gospel. I hope every young person will catch a vision for what we can do for the sake of the gospel. Amen. I want nothing more in my life. And my wife and I are in agreement that God would call our children to the full-time ministry, to the mission field, whether that's in America or whether that's somewhere else. I want God to use my children, and I want them to have a burden for it. I think being a missionary is the highest calling that anybody could have in their entire life. Can I say that these folks were sent out of their local church? And again, a missionary that does not have a sending church is not a biblical missionary. You say, why is that? Listen, if you send a missionary out of New Hope Independent Baptist Church, and I believe one day you will, and as we send missionaries out of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kenai, Alaska, I want you to understand that it is the church's responsibility to take care of that missionary. It's the church's responsibility to pray for that missionary. It's the church's responsibility because, by the way, they are going there on our behalf. Turn over to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 1, you're in Acts. Turn over to chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, in verse number 8. I want to show you something really quickly. You say, well, Brother Caleb, why is it my problem what's going on in Tokyo, Japan? Why is it my problem what's going on in Florida or California or the Carolinas or Maine? Why is it my problem what's going on in the Dakotas? Why is it my problem what's going on in India and Nepal and China? Why is it my problem what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, Hungary, Belarus, Burma? Why is it my problem what's going on? Notice what the Bible said, the Word of God, what Jesus said in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be a witness unto me. Notice what the Bible said here. Circle this word. It's four letters. B-O-T-H. Both. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, wait a minute. I'm in Red Level. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. I'm in Kenai. What do you mean? I'm going to Samoa. I'm in Thailand. I'm all over America. What do you mean? It's my job. The Bible said, Jesus said to these children of God, after he got off the cross and he's given instruction, he said, look, here's the deal, gentlemen. It is your responsibility to witness to both of them. Folks, we not only have a job in Red Level, but we have an obligation to America Samoa. We not only have an obligation to Red Level, it is not only your job and my job to reach Red Level, but it is our job to reach Thailand. It's not only my job to reach Red Level, but it is also my job to reach America. That is the scripture. That is the gospel that we understand. That is missions. And awaking to that call of understanding that it is the church's job to reach everyone. Both. Well, what can I do? I'm in Red Level. Folks, it's your responsibility to reach both. Do you understand that? It's my responsibility to reach both. Missions is not a suggestion, by the way. It's a mandate, an official order or commission to do something. And that's exactly what Jesus gave us when he said in Matthew 28, would you turn over there, please? Matthew chapter number 28. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Oh, you're listening so well. Keep it up. Matthew 28. Matthew chapter number 28, please. Matthew 28. You might be familiar with this or you might not. That's okay. Matthew chapter number 28. And I want to look at verse number 18, please. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. The Bible said this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How many are thankful that God, our God, is an all-powerful God?
Yeah.
We live in a world where everybody likes superheroes and everybody has their favorite superhero because this one's more powerful than this one. It's all make-believe and silly. By the way, if you're over the age of 20, knock it off. Anyway, I digress. But everybody talks about superheroes and all this stuff and what powers they have and what abilities they have, and some can climb on walls and some can fly and some wear their underwear on the outside and all the different things that people do. It's weird, I know. But here's the thing. Our God isn't just a powerful being. He has all the power. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All the power that is in the world, all the power of any make-believe superhero that you could think of, our God has it all. And he said this. This is what that all-powerful God said to us in verse number 19. "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. There's really four things to the Great Commission that we need to understand this morning is this. Number one, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go. Now, I'm thankful that it's homecoming and folks, guests have come. Thank you for being here today. And if you don't like me, please don't judge the church by it. Come back and listen to the preacher. He's a much better man of God than I am. But the first commission that we understand is that we are to go. Ladies and gentlemen, the lost world is not going to file in here. It's just not going to happen. You know what we are to do? We are to go get them. I'm so thankful that New Hope Independent Baptist Church has a bus route. You know what that says? We're interested in going and getting them and bringing them to the house of God. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say that it's not just in Red Level. We have a responsibility to go to all the world. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Isn't it interesting that the Bible said teach? You know why? Because there are parts of this world that don't know anything about the name of Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? No. Who's that? Then you're going to have to teach some folks. You can't just walk up and say, "Hey, have you been saved?" They don't know what that means. And I'm under the belief as a pastor of an independent Baptist church just like this one that there are a lot of God's people sitting in the pew that don't know what it means to be saved. And if you can't tell somebody how you got saved, can you even be saved? If you can't share with them that I was lost, but thank God, I understood that there was a penalty to that sin, and it was death and hell, but thanks be to God that God didn't leave me the way that he found me, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for me, and I accepted that gift and believed it in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and the Bible said that I am saved. Amen. And now the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am his child. And there is nothing that you can do to tell me that I am not a child of God. And I'm happy about it. I don't understand people who aren't happy about being saved. But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to go and teach. Go teach. You know what we're to do next? The Bible says it right there. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You know what we're to do once we go out and we teach somebody and they get saved? By the way, most people should be saved out there. We have people saved right down here at the aisle, and that's a blessing. But folks, 8.1 billion people. We're not fitting 8.1 billion in this room. 8.1 billion people aren't going to watch us on live stream. How are we going to reach them? We're going to have to go get them. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to go get them. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Baptizing has nothing to do with salvation. If you're here today and you say, "Well, I asked a boy here the other day, or man, I can't remember, shared the gospel a few times while I've been here. And I said, tell me about when you got saved." He said, "Well, I've been baptized." He said, "That's not what I said. I said, tell me about when you got born again." He said, "Well, I never have been." And I said, "Well, has anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you from the scripture how you can know that you're on your way to heaven?" He said, "No." Right here in the Bible Belt. And I said, "Well, would you mind?" if I showed you? He said, sure. So I got to lead him through the scriptures, through God's word, and he got saved. Amen. Amen. Folks, here's the thing. If we go and we win souls to Christ, we go out, we knock on the door, we get them, we bring them in here, we need to get them connected with the local New Testament church. We need to get them involved here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church so that they can grow. Pastor Roach said it, and it's true. How foolish is it to have a little child and to see a little baby born into the world and then just neglect it? You cannot do that. You have to help it. You have to nurture it. You have to help it grow. And then all of a sudden, Brother Blake, it'll get to the time in their life when they can function on their own and they move out on their own and they're in ministry on their own and they're doing all those things on their own. Folks, that's what we need. Go, teach, baptize. And then the Word of God says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hey, why would I come to Missions Conference? I've been saved for 75 years. I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved for 30 years. I've been teaching Sunday school, boy, longer than you've been alive. I realize that may be your testimony, but you've not learned all you need to learn yet. And none of us have learned all that we need to learn yet. And the Bible says that as we go out and we win them and we see them join the church, that we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. All things, ladies and gentlemen. Everything. Now, here's the deal tonight. You've listened well. I'm just about done. I realize it's 12 o'clock. And in the South, that means I'm done, I guess. But just give me 5 minutes. Could you do that? Are you involved in the Great Commission? Well, you don't know where my life is. You don't know my life, preacher. I was this and I was that and I used to do that. My pastor hurt me. I was a part of a church split. Talked to a man on the plane on the way here. I said, you know, hey, I'm Caleb, and introduced myself, and he said, yeah, I used to be a missionary church planter in North Carolina. I said, used to be? What are you doing now? He said, well, to be honest with you, I don't talk to God anymore. What happened? His son ended up passing away, and he got bitter and he got angry at God, and now he no longer goes to church. He no longer talks to God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I help you understand? We all go through difficult times. We all go through hurts. Let's not turn our back on God. I know that you've been hurt. Well, forgive. That's what the Bible says. And be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The reason why God forgave you was for Christ's sake. And the reason why we forgive one another is for Christ's sake. Are you involved in missions? Listen. Realize, listen to this very carefully. Realize that it's not someone else's job. I'm speaking to everybody in here. Speaking to the missionaries, the pastors, the children, the adults. Young and old, it is your responsibility as a child of God to get the gospel to the world. And you know what would do us well this week? If we would start taking it personally. New Hope Independent Baptist Church, you listen to me, you listen to me well. You ought to be so aggressive in your efforts to get the gospel to Red Level and to all of these countries represented by these flags and the ones that are not represented by these flags. You should be so aggressive that in your mind, now this isn't true, but in your mind, you should give and you should live like you are the only church in the world that is doing the job. You say, well, why would we do that? Because then you start taking it personally. If you realize that getting the gospel to the world depends upon you and this church, all of a sudden, that starts changing the way you live. All of a sudden, when you go to the coffee house, it's not just what can I get for coffee. It's that there's a soul standing behind the counter. All of a sudden, when you go to the Walmart over here in Andalusia, it's not just that you're trying to get your groceries, but there's a soul standing behind there. And you're going to get the gospel to them because you take it personally. Too long we've come in, we've sat, we've judged the sermon. Well, preacher went five, he asked for 5 minutes and he took six. Preacher's a liar. Shame on us. What is happening to our America? What has happened to the Bible Belt? But folks, it's your job. And I'm not just preaching at you. It's my job too. And I tell you one thing, this preacher takes it personally. I feel so guilty. There are 68 countries of those 195 that are unreached people. Unreached people means, according to the Joshua Project, that less than 2% of the population of that country professes Christianity. And how many realize there's a lot of professing Christianity that's not really Christianity? There are countries with almost zero gospel influence. Almost zero. Japan, Tokyo, Japan, the largest city in the world. And you're able to share the gospel there freely. And it's unreached. And the church just sits by and checks our watch. Come on. When are you going to take it personally? When are you going to say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to do everything that I can do to see that those 68 countries are reached with the gospel? I don't know that I can go. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to take it personally. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to get on my knees with a map just like this and study these large maps and see all of these different countries that are all over the world that are so needy with the gospel. And I'm going to take time and I'm going to pray through each continent, and I'm going to take time to pray through America, and I'm going to take time to pray through India, and I'm going to take time to pray through all of these cities in China that need the gospel. Take it personally. It's the only way. Is if the church takes the gospel and getting it to the world personally. And that's not a church decision necessarily. That's an individual decision. And what decision are you going to make this morning? Before we talk about how it's going to be done, we need to decide it's got to be done. And I need to be involved in doing it. Let's stand to our feet, church, please. Miss Kay, would you come to the piano?